Blog Talk Radio.
Alrighty, folks, this is Rebel Raven Rich Bergeron.
And good evening, it's the Tornado Tony Pennycal.
And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. We got another premier boxing championship card for boxing. So we're going to have Lucky Tom Padgett coming on any minute to talk about some of the MMA stuff going on this week. We got some WWE shit to go through. We got Ronda Rousey banned from Walmart. Can you believe this shit? It's too violent, Tony.
Too violent. From Walmart?
No. Her book. They can't put her book of fighting in Walmart. She's too violent.
Oh, I was going to say, what is she, not allowed to go in there and, mom, take pictures of the people of Walmart and put them on the internet for people of Walmart.com?
No, I guess, they said, we're going to put it on the website. People can buy it on our website, but you're not going to put this book in stores because Ronda Rousey is too violent. That was the message. But yet they sell guns and ammo, and, they've been in some Michael Moore documentaries about homicides tied to those guns and ammo. Bad stuff, So who's too violent? And how many games do they sell in their entertainment section? How many violent video games where people get killed? You're calling Ronda Rousey too violent?
I'll tell you, speaking of Walmart, this is off the topic a little bit, but I just find this funny. This is one of my usual pieces of my quality sarcasm. I was in Walmart about a year ago, and I was walking through the book section, and it was they had the one line of books, and they had the kind of the front, which is more towards the middle of the aisle, where it was getting more attention. And they had a book from Phil Roberson from Stuff Dynasty. And right next to it was a book, a book about Hillary Clinton. And I looked at them and I actually took a picture and I sent them to my friend. I said, look at these two books. You'd never think you'd see them side by side.
Huh?
I said, one is about a dirty, filthy, unkept, braggart. And the other is about the guy from Duck Dynasty.
Wow. Psychic Tom is with us, and all his psychic opinions, if you don't like them tonight and they're not accurate, they're free, so.
Worth what I'm charging. Well, it's kind of ironic because as I was remembering last week, I predicted the co-main event with Jorge having somewhat of an edge, and yet the majority of the crowd seemed to agree with me, but I agree with your analysis, Rich. I gave Al that fight, but I don't want to jump ahead of where we were. We'll get to that later, I'm sure.
While we were talking about Ronda Rousey, we were actually on MMA, even though Tony was kind of more talking about just Walmart and how much she loves it and goes there to hang out.
Oh, okay.
No. We're just kind of hating on Walmart for not putting the book in.
Exactly. That was always our big threat, that if you don't get this straightened out or if you do this right, you're going to be winding up the greeter at Walmart. That was... which is a hazardous job, I guess. A few of them have been assaulted before, so you got to be on the job there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous. The book's too violent. What's next?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean... I don't even think it was the book that was too violent. I mean, because obviously they're selling it on their website. They actually physically, they said Ronda herself is physically too violent. I thought that was the quote.
Well, my comment to that, how many times has Ronda been arrested for felonious assault or even any kind of assault or battery? Has Ronda been convicted of a violent crime? Now, to my knowledge, she hasn't been. Has Ronda ever hit anyone that wasn't trying to hit her in an agreed-upon environment? I don't think so. Case closed in my mind, but hey, I'm preaching to the choir here, so I'm sure you guys echo my sentiments.
Anyway, I mentioned also at the beginning of the broadcast that we've got some WWE news this week. Actually, I think I was just talking to Tony before the broadcast. But We got Ted DiBiase Jr. is in the news. He was at the Vicksburg Rotary Club meeting last Thursday or the Thursday before it. Gave a really good big speech. He walked away from the WWE years ago, and he's now devoted himself to God. You know, he had a pretty big athletic career before deciding to follow in his father's footsteps, but had some pretty important things to get to say about you know, getting to that point where he walked away from everything. He said, "What I didn't realize is that when I gave up all my dreams and said, 'God, whatever you want from me,' that's when he gave me my childhood dream. At the same time, he entered my prayer and sent me to the darkest place in the world, which is the entertainment industry." Uh-oh, guys. I guess that mean us? We're in the darkest place in the world? according to DiBiase, the entertainment industry has fame, fortune, power, and influence, and your need for something greater becomes less. DiBiase's dream was to become a professional wrestler like his father, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase Sr. Said, "I wanted it bad and believed in my heart that's where God wanted me to be." And his father actually tried to persuade him from becoming a wrestler. Said, "No, don't do it." And then he convinced his father he wanted to be just like his hero, the Million Dollar Man. He told me, "You know, son, it's not easy." He said, "It was far harder than I ever imagined." And he said, this is one of the best lines, I guess, of this whole thing. They really focused on this. He said, "There was a time in my career that I forgot what got me there, and I lost sight of my priorities, and my priorities shifted. All of a sudden, I couldn't make enough money, I couldn't become famous enough, and I wanted more. I woke up one day, and I hated the person I saw because I had this moment staring in the mirror where I hated that guy." And then there's all kinds of scriptures quoted. 1 John 2:15, "Do not love the world or anything in the world, for if you do, the love of the Father is not in you." Well, Easter preaching there, I guess, for everybody. he left the WWE September 1st, 2013. And he's been doing the faith thing ever since. He said, "I had no security, but I know that I serve a big God. It's been the hardest, most trying, most amazing year or so of my life. I've grown as a man, as a father, and as a husband." And apparently, according to this article, grown men wept. So it's more than happens in the WWE, unless they're really drunk, I guess. But good for him, you know. He found something, he's doing something good, and you know, he figured out that's not the best of life to lead. But, you know, he doesn't really slam the lifestyle either. Just kind of said that it was not very fit for him, kind of, more than anything. Anyway, I know Tony's not going to like this story, but, you know, this big new fad, big knockout boxing, is kind of catching on out there in Vegas. They just had another event, the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas. And there's a couple stories on this because they're trying to develop a punch that thing with the gloves so it reports back the force of the punch, the amount of punches, all that stuff through a sensor in the gloves now. So we're getting technology involved in this too. But some pretty big names here. So is it Jesus Fight of the Week even? And the results from last week, Gabe Rosado was in the middleweight fight with Curtis Stevens. 23-8, 13 KOs for Gabe Rosado. Curtis Stevens was 27-5 with 20 KOs. They went to a 7-round draw.
And everything I heard, and I like Gabe, I know Gabe, and everything I've heard said that Stevens should have won that.
So I guess controversy does not escape to this form of boxing either. The Jesus Fight of the Week, Jesus Soto Carras, 28-10-3 with 18 KOs. He got a 5-round unanimous decision over Ed Paredes, 35-5-1 with 23 KOs. 49-46 on all three cards there. Not a big surprise. And we had Anthony Johnson was on this card. He escaped from the UFC. He's on a boxing contract now. He's 9-0, three knockouts. No, different Anthony Johnson. But he is a cruiserweight. It's kind of funny. Anthony Johnson. He won a unanimous decision over Joey Montoya, who's 8-2-3, three knockouts. And also, female lightweight, Layla McCarter was on this card. She's 36-13-5 with eight KOs. She got a seventh-round TKO over Diana Krazak, who is 13-3 with nine KOs. Pretty good stuff. Shelly Vincent, our former guest, brought home another piece of hardware Friday with a unanimous decision win over challenger Christina Ruiz at Twin River Casino. And she's 14-0 now. Good for her. So is Rocky Marciano. Okay, let's see. Rampage Jackson's in the news this week because, you know, apparently he gives good legal advice to the UFC. Some shit, but apparently he didn't go to law school. I forgot about that because Bellator came in and they said, hey, you know, we've got Rampage under contract. Everybody laughed at them. Oh, yeah. Big bad USD is going to come in, take your fighter. Nothing you're going to do about it. Well, guess what? Even though Rampage says it was a hometown cooking decision there where Bellator went to their hometown judge, for real, judge in a courtroom this time. Supposedly, this is going to be a fight now. UFC and Bellator are going to have to fight over Rampage. They had made the mistake of already booking them to a fight. I thought that was really stupid to do to begin with. You know, if you're really going to inspire them to try to get this guy back, I mean, that's the thing you're going to do is put him in a fight.
Well, that sure did trash that upcoming card. Oh,
yeah.
Boy. And it's a pay-per-view.
Like the fourth change to that card, because it was supposed to be two title fights. Now it's one. This fight was supposed to be on there. I didn't think it was going to be an exciting fight anyway. I think he was going to destroy Maldonado, but UFC is turning around and saying, well, hey, he told us he wasn't under contract with them.
Oh,
so,
come on. I find there's something there that's not being mentioned. I mean, there has to be. Well, that's what he said. I mean, you know, he is a paralegal, has a correspondence degree, right? Oh, wow.
Well, you know, you don't want to take advice from a guy who went on a real rampage years ago what was the excuse? Because he thought he would die if he went to sleep, so he drank too many energy drinks. And I think, you know, there was never a civil lawsuit that went forward, I think, but there was implications he might have been involved in causing the death of a woman's baby and that whole thing. You know, it wasn't just a little deal thing. And, you know, for them to just say, oh, you know, it's his fault, number one, no, it's not his fault. It's your fault for not getting the right lawyers on it and figuring this out before you booked him on a card.
Yeah.
You don't just go, oh, well, Rampage said we could, so we did.
You know, that has to go in the category of you can't make this stuff up, even though that phrase is becoming overworked. But it's so appropriate, especially in something like this.
It just blows my mind, though, that they would have this back and forth and then be surprised now that Bellator won. And, you know, Bellator is kind of stupid at the same breath. And I don't think they can force this guy to fight. He doesn't want to fight under their banner anymore. He's obviously pissed off at them. You know, yeah, he has a contract dispute. Yeah, they have fights left on his contract. But, I mean, what are they going to do? Put a gun to his head and get in the cage and fight?
I get the feeling there'll be some kind of financial settlement with the UFC. Wouldn't you think that there would? Because you're right. If Rampage says, I ain't fighting for you, then why shouldn't Bellator get what they can from the UFC to release his contract? Otherwise, I guess legally he's finished unless this is going to be appealed. And I hadn't read that the UFC was going to appeal the decision, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, everybody was confused about it because the way the articles were written, you know, you didn't know whether Rampage had to appeal or the UFC had to appeal. What the hell is going on? I really don't know the legalities of it. I haven't looked at it too deeply. All I know is, you know, it's pretty stupid for them to believe, if they really believe, that he's going to fight for them again. But, you know, I got to understand why they would say that if they really want to inspire a settlement against the UFC, and I think that's
That's what I think. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I have to think a contract is a contract.
Yeah.
To break it down into contract 101, both parties agree to do something or agree to refrain from doing something. And if he signed it, unless he can prove it was coercion or deception, I just don't think he can walk away. But and I'm not a lawyer.
I'm not either. Really. Not a real player, but I play one on the internet sometimes.
helping that older woman. Yes, sir. That was noble. That was great.
But WWE, but another big news story. AJ Lee is retiring. Tony's favorite woman wrestler, right? No, I don't know.
She wasn't my favorite. I'll give you that.
It's related to TM Punk, which is kind of interesting. She is married to him, not just related to him, married to him. He just left WWE last year. Is there any coincidence to that? I don't know. April Brooks is her name. She goes by the name. Maybe she's going to be challenging Rousey for the title. Who knows? I don't know. Spreading rumors. Okay, we talked about Quentin. Okay. Premier Boxing Championships. Big light heavyweight fight. I know, you know, Twitter isn't for everybody, but, you know, on if you're familiar at all with Twitter, you know, you can favorite a tweet or you can retweet it.
Yep.
So somebody wrote something about, you know, after the Kovalev, I mean, I'm saying Kovalev already, after the Donna Stevenson versus Saki Obika fight, they were just like saying, all right, this fight has to be made. This is the greatest fight in boxing history needing to be made right now. And I wrote back to that guy, if they had an opposite of favorite on here, I would select it. Oh, it's like so many people on Twitter saying that shit, and I was just like, oh. And I wrote back to one person, if I was his manager, Adonis Stevenson, I would not want no part of a Kovalev fight right now. He needs work. And then to know that, I mean, Tony, I'm sure you're going to go off on this. I wanted to go off on it when I watched it. I didn't watch the whole fight because I was watching the UFC. I didn't even realize, just caught it like the morning of that it's going to be an after card. But the last round, Adonis Stevenson almost got himself knocked out trying to showboat.
Yeah, how about his Ollie shuffle imitation, huh?
Not good. Not good. And people don't realize, if they haven't done it, how close he came physically to getting his ass kicked right there. And just being sloppy and dumb, lowering his hands. And, you know, there's a whole movie about about that. What is it? Defend yourself at all times, right? You could be paralyzed. Oh, right?
Yeah, exactly. And what did he say in the post-fight interview? He something about, I guess there were questions about his chin going into this fight. Now, I haven't followed his career much. Maybe you guys know a little more if he's had chin troubles in the past, but apparently he was out to prove he could take a punch. But taking a punch from Bika is one thing. Taking one from Kovalev is a whole other topic.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why he signed with a different network now.
Yeah, exactly. So now the question is, will that fight happen, and will public pressure be enough to do it? Because apparently it may take a lot. I mean, now he's saying all the right stuff. Like he's anxious to have it happen. So we can only hope.
Yes, we can. I know you guys have all seen the commercial when you were kids, when Tony and I were kids. But Tom, I know you've seen the commercial of the father coming into the room in the 80s, you know, with the drugs and saying to the kid, "Where did you learn how to do this?" And the kid looks up at the father and said, "I learned it from watching you." It's like a classic. Everybody, it's like the Brain on Drugs commercial, but I like it better. Anyway, we had an incident at the UFC event this week that reminded me of that. And the bad influence that Dana White has on the UFC, that just, I mean, it just goes over everybody's head. And now we have a situation where it's been not only glamorized, but I guess you could say it's been used to sell Fox, UFC on Fox coverage of the fights. And they used it to just, like, you know, get viral viewers, I guess. I mean, this makes no sense to me that why that, you know, here they are trying to give UFC legitimacy, mixed martial arts legitimacy, Foxes, and they go out and they blast this thing all over the internet like it's cool for Ally Kinta to go out there after a fight that was controversial and tell a fan to fuck himself, you know? What is good about that? Why do you want to hype that up like it's a good thing? And he didn't even apologize for it. He's had multiple opportunities to apologize for it. And I thought it was worse even than that, to walk out on the interview. And I mean, if you're pissed off, explain why you're pissed off and get the crowd back on your side. You're an entertainer in addition to being a fighter. And I can understand you being pissed off. I've been pissed off after wrestling matches, after boxing matches, during boxing matches. And I've done some stupid things, but as I've never been a professional, and if I ever got to the professional level, I'll tell you, there were times where I learned my lessons already, and I would never do something like that.
Well, and, but don't you think that this is where Longo and Sarah should have stepped in a bit and had him take a deep breath and get back there and first off go over this whole thing about trying to ignore the crowd in the first place? I mean, because we've seen just a few weeks ago, I think Henderson was booed when he was in the hometown of Thatch, but he handled it like a gentleman.
Well, supposedly, I mean, there's been a couple of articles written about this, but the thing that struck me was somebody so it was two kids. Al had said at the post-fight press conference, it was two kids giving the middle finger that set him off in the crowd. And then they supposedly had these two kids call into the Ariel Helwani show there and apologize. And they told him that they were booing the decision, not him. But he asked out loud, "Are you booing me?" Like, they're going to answer.
Well, now, in his defense, and I'm going to play devil's advocate for just the entertainment purposes, but, you know, it was the kind of fight that I think he showed a lot of guts coming back from that. I mean, after that first round, it really looked bad, but he came back, he tried to make the fight. You got to give him credit for that.
I think
he hung in. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't watching the fight. That was the problem. And I think a lot of the fans had the same problem because it got dull. They weren't really watching it anymore. They were waiting for the big strikes, and maybe Masvidal landed some better head strikes, but Al was leg-kicking the fuck out of this dude. And he won that second round, mostly with leg kicks and just keeping his distance. And I said the first round, said to myself, Masvidal has this guy's number, you know, and I laughed at Sarah saying to Iaquinta, "Oh, you'll get the next two," until I watched it again, and he did get the next two. I was actually agreeing with the Masvidal fans in the crowd who were pissed off after the first watch.
I had Al winning, in spite of what I said, because you remember what I said, I just felt that Jorge had a little more technique. But the problem is what eluded me was, you know, I was just thinking of this. I mean, you look back on fighters who have someone hurt. The great fighters know how to do it. Okay, imagine after the first round, let's go way back just for fun. Go back to Dempsey and Willard. Now, how many times was Jess Willard knocked down in that first round? What, 6, 7? Remember, they didn't have a 3-knockdown rule then. Now, can you imagine? Imagine Jack Dempsey coming out and saying, well, I got this thing in the pocket. You know, why bother? Or when Joe Lewis had Max Schmeling hurt and he's going to back off. I mean, what we've seen, and in MMA, look at Cain Velasquez. Get in trouble with him and see what happens. Get in trouble with Anthony Pettis and see what happens. Get in trouble with the prime time Tank Abbott, Tito Ortiz. I could go on and on with that. And Jorge did not have that in his DNA, to borrow a Teddy Atlas phrase. And he was on cruise control. And maybe if Al didn't win it, I think we could say Jorge threw the fight away by that inaction. Yeah. That's my 2 cents worth. I mean, people pay to see a fight. He was way ahead after the first round. Step on the accelerator and finish the guy. Look at Sugar Ray Leonard when he got someone in trouble. When Ali got someone in trouble, George Foreman, Sugar Ray Robinson. I mean, we could go on and on. I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know, but I just was scratching my head saying, what the hell is he doing?
The only controversy in this fight that I saw as far as the decision went was, why didn't Jorge get a 10-8 round in that first round? Because he knocked him down and busted him up. You know, wasn't that enough for a 10-8 round?
Yes.
Then,
I would agree. I mean, he really did enough damage that should have been.
Then there's no booze. No booze. People would like that. But no 10-8 rounds in MMA for some reason. I don't know why they don't do that.
Well, Forrest Pettis had one. I think he had a 10-7 round. It was one of the few in the history of the UFC in his UFC debut when he fought Sam Morgan. Now, we'll go back to the season one of The Ultimate Fighter, if you remember Sam Morgan. And Forrest put him down so many times, I don't know why the fight wasn't stopped, but I think that was a 10-7. I don't think it was a 10-6. I don't think I've ever heard of a 10-6 round. I think 10-7 is about it, but there are very, very few of them.
If there was
a case for a 10-8 round, that first round was it. And I don't know how they did it, but I still say the right guy won.
Yeah, definitely. It took me a little time to realize that, but anyway. We had that was actually the co-main event. It's kind of stole the thunder of everybody else's good performance on that
night.
Yes,
it did. You're right.
Chad Mendes, a lot of people say he's now 18 and Aldo. 18 and got 2 losses, Jose Aldo. Ricardo Lamas, managed to earn his respect there in the first round. It was quick, but, you know, he got a nice uppercut in there on Mendes when he was trying to come in for a takedown, and Mendes looked up at him and kind of gave him props, and then moments later, Lamas was out of business, TKO. Goes to 15-4, and, it's tough matching guys like that up. You know, you expect maybe a 5-round war, but sometimes it's just styles clash. Mendes just wants it bad enough. He got the knockout this time. So maybe he's been working on that stuff, but
Mendes is in a weird place psychologically because apparently he doesn't like O'Connor, but from a professional standpoint, it's definitely in his best interest for O'Connor to win this fight.
Yeah, Conor McGregor.
McGregor. For McGregor to win, for sure. I mean, that's in his best interest for McGregor to win.
Right.
So he's in a strange place there.
We also had Michael Chiesa from The Ultimate Fighter beat Mitch Clark by unanimous decision. That was a very technical and interesting fight. Chiesa apparently was pissed off that Clark asked for this fight twice and finally got it. And he said he kind of wanted to punish him for that. He pretty much did. Juliana Pena looked a lot more impressive as a winner of The Ultimate Fighter there. She beat Milena Dudieva after big-time reconstructive knee surgery and all that stuff. She looked great.
Yes. Yeah, she definitely. She took the words out of my mouth there. That was just a great performance.
just demolished Dudieva. I don't know much about Dudieva, but couldn't have done much worse there. And you can't really stop a woman like that, Pena. And she's determined enough, and she's ready. Looked like she was healthy. I didn't even see a scar on her knee, you know. But I didn't see any close-up, too, there. But anyway, Clay Guida called out everybody, including President Obama, for playing too much golf after his win over Robbie Peralta. Unanimous decision win there.
Yeah, that was kind of a head-scratcher. You know, yeah. I'm kind of wondering, where are we going here? And it wasn't even, at least when Volkman called out the president, he wanted to fight him. You remember that? When Jacob Volkman called in the other day, I said, who do you want to fight next? He says, Obama. He's wrecking my, what is he? He's a chiropractor, I believe, or something. But, yeah, at least Volkman called the president out. With Guida, it was such a half-assed ramble. What was he talking about?
Yeah. Anyway, Dustin Poirier beat Carlos Diego Pereira. Was a Brazil Ultimate Fighter winner. I think that was his first loss, too, Pereira. Knockout loss, punches, first round. Liz Carmouche was back in action, got what was really the most controversial decision of the night over Lauren Murphy. Did not watch this fight from bell to bell, but saw a lot of people pissed off on Twitter about this one. And Liz looked surprised after to get the win, I thought. Kind of like, what? Unanimous decision. Alexander Yakovlev also beat Gray Maynard in the third fight of the night by unanimous decision.
That's a terrible, terrible setback for Gray. And I thought he was looking a little better in the first round. I mean, you know, I like the guy on a personal level. You know, we really clicked when I met him in Las Vegas and we spent some time talking. And so I may have been a little rose-colored glasses there, but in the second round, it when he got hit, I do not like the way he reacted to that punch. Did you see that one, Rich?
I did not, for some reason.
Okay, well, he was fighting a tall southpaw, which is a nightmare fight, but I still think in Gray's prime, he'd have got that fight down and walked right through him, but this guy just had a good takedown defense. Gray, in the first round, I could tell Gray was showing some head movement, so he had been working on his boxing some, but when he ran into a straight left hand in that second round, and the whole complexion of the fight turned at that point. I mean, Gray hung on, but he definitely lost the round. And in the third round, he was reduced to just shooting without trying to set things up to the extent that he needed to. And I just don't know where he goes from here.
Yeah.
I mean, because he said he had a great camp, and he was ready, and he felt like psychologically he was back, and he had all the neurological clearance. But that, if you get the chance, I don't know if it's on YouTube, but you might want to just check out that second round. And I just did not like the way he reacted to that. And it's like, damn, here we go again. So it's got to be terribly disappointing for him, but that's the game.
Yeah, you know, whether it's in the wrong camp or he's just too far rattled by some tough fights, who knows, but...
Well, because you remember his story that he, Extreme Couture lost its original flavor, so he went to AKA up there in San Jose, but he never really was an AKA guy, and then he went to, what was it, Powerhouse MMA in Arizona, and that didn't fit either. So he moved back to Las Vegas, and supposedly Extreme Couture had regained its identity then. And he said he felt right back at home, and he really wanted to give it one more good shot. And he didn't get stopped, but how pathetic is it if that's the highlight of the night that he didn't get stopped? I mean, here's a guy who was a step away from the title.
Right.
Just one fight away, and I think he'd have given Benson Henderson hell. But... From and this is, you know, as recent as 2011 when he was really making his run. And he's gone from that to the highlight of the night is he didn't get stopped.
Yeah.
And okay. I think the judges, I think two of them, maybe all three, two of them had it 30-27, or maybe it was a sweep 30-27. I mean, I had him winning the first round, but it was very close. So,
Another guy who didn't get stopped was Justin Jones, although I thought it was close. Ron Stallings looked a lot better this time around in the UFC. Chris wrote about him last time. He fought on short notice. This time he had a full camp in, looked great. Timothy Johnson got the stop with 3 seconds left in the first round over Shamil Abdurakhimov. Probably doing that wrong. First round knockout from punches. It was a heavyweight fight. And that's it for that card. That's all she wrote. And I know we got a card coming up this weekend. I know Tom's in Bigak because he likes to go to Poland every weekend. Poland, yeah. I don't know what that's going to do to the time schedule, but it says April 11th, Poland. Gabriel Gonzaga versus Mirko Filipovic, part two. Second installment.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that is an intriguing rematch. And I wonder why the fight wasn't in Croatia. I guess maybe they feel the fans from Croatia could make it to Poland to cheer on their guy.
Because if you're going to have a mixed martial arts fight, you want to have it in a place called Krakow.
Yeah.
Krakow.
And maybe Andrew Golota will be making his MMA debut. Hey, don't tell me you guys wouldn't be watching. Don't tell me you wouldn't watch.
Wouldn't that be fun? The guest referee and he never fouls.
the foul pole or what was he called?
Co-main event of this one is Jan Blachowicz versus Jimmy Manua. So I don't really know much about Blachowicz, but he's 18-3. I know Manua is a beast. I've seen him in action. He's 14-1. So that's an intriguing matchup. But Gonzaga versus Filipovic, I really think Mirko's got this one this time. He's got 30 wins, 11 losses, and two draws. And he's been taking it easy, but he's also been doing a lot of kickboxing, I think, overseas. And Gonzaga, he's on a comeback, but I really don't remember any, like, huge win where he just demolished somebody anytime recently. And Filipovic is always capable of doing that. And still looks good, I think.
And I would definitely say this one's loser leave town, wouldn't you agree?
It could be, but I think both of them have big enough names, they're going to stick around. And if Filipovic is coming back and he's in a main event, he signed a multi-fight deal, so I don't think they could get rid of him if they wanted to. But I don't know who's going to win either, but I just kind of lean towards Filipovic. It's going to be my prediction. We also have Bartosz Fabinski, 11-2, fighting Gareth McClellan, who's 12-2. Another girl, one of my favorites from the Ultimate Fighter, Joanne Calderwood. She's 9-0, fighting Marnia Moroz, who's 5-0. And we got Pavel Pavlak, who's 10-1, fighting Sheldon Westcott, who's 8-2-1. Michael LeBeau, 3-1, fighting Sergio Moreno, 2. Seth Pazinski, 19-12, fighting Leon Edwards, 8-2. And I definitely don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. Daniel Omelianchuk, 16-4-1, fighting Anthony Hamilton, 13-4. Botarek, 5-2, fighting Alexandra Albu, 1-0. Marcin Bandel, 13-3-0, fighting Stephen Ray, 16-5. Taylor Lapalis, 8-1, fighting Rocky Lee, who's 3-0. And the first fight of the night, Damian Stasiak, 8-2, fighting Yautsin Meza, who's got 20 wins and 9 losses. And he's still the first fight of the card. No respect. We also have a World Series of Fighting card coming up this weekend. A lot of fighting action going on. We've got another big world premier boxing event on NBC this weekend. This one, David Brands versus Jesse McElligott. And I'm wondering, is he related to the McElligott we know here at Fight News Unlimited? He's only 5-1 in the main event here. I think that's a pretty rich name. I wouldn't be surprised. But he's fighting David Branch. He's 15-3. I think this one was supposed to be Melvin Gillard, but Gillard is kind of saying an ally of Kitta, I guess, to us. doesn't want to weigh in and doesn't want to fight for them, I guess, anymore. They pulled him out of the card. He didn't even contact me. He wasn't even answering his phone calls. So kind of rude on his part when he's supposed to be the big guy on the card. Co-main event, Nick Newell, 11-1, fighting Joe Condon, who's 12-7. And there's a name for you. Ozzy Dugalubgov, 6-2, fighting Lucas Montoya, who's 8-3. I'm not going to go through the rest of them. Not that nobody that most people would recognize right off the bat. Anyway, Premier Boxing Champions, Garcia versus Peterson, the catchweight fight because somebody couldn't lose 3 pounds. Danny Garcia versus Lamont Peterson this weekend. I don't know. Still don't know why it's 3 pounds that hard to lose. But I don't know. I really haven't followed these guys that closely. I do know that Danny Garcia, even though he's still undefeated, kind of had some battles in his last few fights. Wasn't able to win as easily as a lot of people thought he would against some contenders. And now he's going against a guy, Lamont Peterson, who, could get in the fight. And maybe that's why they added a catchweight, because they really don't want to give up titles. Who knows? But big event here on NBC. Who do you got, Tony?
Well, here's what you got two quality fighters here. Garcia, he had a real tough fight in Puerto Rico last March against Mauricio Herrera. Didn't look really that impressive in that fight. He really got outboxed. So now you got a guy like Peterson, who is a very accomplished boxer. So now it's like, is Peterson going to be able to use his jab, keep Garcia off balance, and ultimately, outbox him and win a decision? Then again, you got... you take your guy, Mike Peterson, good fighter, doesn't have a tremendously good chin. You know, he's got a decent chin, but Lucas Matisse blew him out in 3 rounds a couple of years ago. Garcia went out and basically kicked Matisse's ass. Now, I'm always a guy that says just because fighter A beats fighter B doesn't necessarily mean that fighter A will beat fighter C. Even if fighter B beats fighter C, it doesn't matter. But I think your styles make your matchups here. And I think the first few rounds, what you're going to see is, Peterson try to box. Garcia, using his jab basically to take away Peterson, trying to draw him into more of a slugfest. Garcia is a younger guy. He's a bigger puncher. And I think that is what is going to ultimately, win the game over. And I think, he'll start to break Peterson down. I think what you'll probably see is post-fight early, Garcia starts to take over around maybe the fifth round, maybe score a quick knockdown, and then really start to beat him up a little bit, stop it around maybe the eighth, maybe ninth round, maybe the tenth.
All righty. And just like Tom's psychic advice, that was free, right?
There you go.
Right or wrong, free. Good stuff. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that. Obviously, it's on free TV, so it's going to be tough to miss. Unless you're trying to ignore it. And it's a hell of a lot better than that Boxing with the Stars shit. I mean, Dancing with the Stars. Should say.
Yeah.
And The Voice. Ugh, I hate those shows. Enough of that shit. Anyway. I was trying to bring up Box Truck Sales, see what else we got going on. One thing I do know from following a little bit of the Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather scene, apparently Manny's locked his training camp. So, until he has to report for his next press obligation, you're not going to hear anything from him. But Floyd has been promoting himself shamelessly, of course, as always. But not much else new from that front. They're just doing their thing. One thing I did remember reading, Floyd Mayweather Sr., I know it's going to break your heart, Tony, but he's going to retire once Floyd is done, once his son is finished boxing.
Is he going to take his asshole brother Roger with him?
Don't cry.
Hey, you know, this is interesting. What do you guys think about the psychology of this locked training camp thing? I mean, I think that could kind of work either way. Why do you feel the need to do something so different and dramatically change from your normal routine here? What's the deal on that? I mean, if you think he's doing it to try to gain a psychological edge, or do you think it could backfire? What do you guys think?
Well, the only bad news that came out of Manny's camp recently is he said bad calves and he had to skip a workout, right? We talked about that on the previous show. So maybe he's worried about that stuff getting out. Maybe he's just saying, all right, well, we're going to shut it down from the press so that shit doesn't get out. Nobody knows I got bad calves. I don't know.
About that Pacquiao's issue with his camp. Because I remember even in one fight when he first fought Bradley a couple of years ago, you know, the fight got delayed like 60 minutes because I had to take him into one room and put him on a special calf stretching machine.
Crazy.
Well, I mean, I think that they could get the best muscle therapist in there, to really work on chiropractors, massotherapists, best herbs, everything he could get. Wow, that's interesting.
Supposedly, I read this somewhere, they have like a cream that they put on his calves that costs like $2,000 a bottle.
Oh, whoa.
So they take that kind of shit seriously.
Yeah.
I guess they don't want anybody knowing about it. But
everyone knows about it. We're talking about it, aren't we?
Yeah,
right.
They probably don't want too many other people talking about it.
Oh, okay. Just the three of us. Okay, got it.
All the people that listen to us.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just have to think that I can't picture Mayweather being psyched out by something like that, if that's the intended purpose. I just don't like that. I don't like the feeling I get, and it's kind of hard for me to articulate why. That's why I was kind of wanting to get your, you know, the opinion of you two on it. Because, I mean, it just seems like if you, it's like someone that changes their style dramatically when they get a fight. Well, why don't you go with what got you there? Why do you feel the need to change up so much? I mean, sure, you might have a couple slight alterations in a fight, but you are what you are to get to that level. And why compromise your strengths? I mean, really, there shouldn't be that many military secrets in the whole game plan. I don't know what Manny's going to do different than he hasn't done in his long career. Well, my 2 cents worth on it.
Well, we're still waiting for Tony to tell us all that, right? Tony's dad makes the cream for him out of Arnica, right?
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. now I get it.
I mean, hell, if they were paying me $2,000, you know, for as long as that, I'm sure we'll start mass producing it again.
Right. There you go. And it works. We know it works.
It used to be funny. We were back in our old house, 16, 17 years ago when I was still doing a lot of competitive boxing. I was doing a lot of sparring in Philadelphia. You know, you'd come home like on any weekend, you'd walk in that kitchen, and it looked like you were drug dealers in there. Because we'd have like the oven going, and you'd have a little oil in these buried in, and you'd have, like, you know, glass bottles over here, and you'd be straining berries and doing this, and it looked like you were masturbating something illegal, but you weren't. You were doing something herbal, which was, you know, pretty funny.
It is funny. Let's see. Well, looking at the boxing schedule here, we got an interesting card over there in Moscow, Russia, on Friday night, tomorrow night. Cruiserweights Denis Lebedev, 26-2, fighting Yuri Kayembre Kalenga. He is 21-1. Also, super lightweights Edward Krojanovski, undefeated at 20-0 with 17 knockouts, fighting Ike Shaknazarian, 15-1 with 6 knockouts. Definitely didn't get that one right. That's for the vacant International Boxing Organization World Super Lightweight title. And also another cruiserweight fight, 12-member, for another title, Dmitry Kudryashov. He's 16-0 with all 16 wins by way of knockout. And he's fighting a former guest in Russia, Francisco Palacios.
Okay.
We'll be rooting for Palacios to get the WBA International Cruiserweight title off this Kudryashov in his backyard, it seems like. His name's freaking Dmitry, so he must be Russian. So, yeah. More power to Francisco. Good for him. That's a big opportunity there. Another 10-rounder cruiserweight fight between Rakim Chakiev, who's 21-1 with 16 knockouts, fighting Valery Rudov, who's 42-5. That's a good record, 28 knockouts. And then they got a heavyweight fight between Manuel Char, who's 27-2 with 16 knockouts, and Johan Duhalpas, who's 31-2 with 20 knockouts. And I think we got the mismatch of the week on this card, because we got Dmitry Bivol, who's only 1-0. Fighting Konstantin Pitomov, who's 18-6. I guess he is undefeated, 1-0, so maybe that isn't a mismatch of the week. Maybe we can find a better one. We get some fights in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, too, going on Friday on ESPN2. Stanislav Skorokhod is 9-0 with 7 knockouts versus John Thompson, who's 15-1 with 5 knockouts on the card. We got any of the Boxino finals, I guess. We got Brandon Adams versus Vito Gasparian. Adams is 16-1 with 11 knockouts. Gasparian is 15-3-5 with 8 knockouts. Yeah, this is the Boxino finals because there's a bunch of heavyweights and a bunch of welterweights. The heavyweights we got going on. Andrei Fedosov, 26-3 with 21 knockouts. Lenroy Thomas, 19-3 with 9 knockouts. Razvan Kodrino, who's 13-1 with 7 knockouts, fighting Donovan Dennis, who's 11-1 with 9 knockouts. Greg Jackson's coming up to welterweight, the box, coming out of Arizona, yeah. I guess. Mm-hmm. All right, he's 5-1-1, 2 knockouts. And he's fighting a guy named Curtis Morton, who's 2-4 with 2 draws. I don't know what this guy's nickname is, but another heavyweight 6-rounder, Ed, I'm going to say bleed like a fountain. No, he's 10-1, so probably not his nickname. He's 10-1 with 4 knockouts, fighting John Bolden, who's 6-10, 1 draw and 5 knockouts. We know Nick Newell is fighting this weekend, but we also have a 4-round heavyweight fight with Eric Newell versus Brandon Spencer. I don't know if he's related. Eric Newell is 7-3-2 with 5 knockouts. Spencer is 2-8-1 with 2 knockouts. And then there's a big event in New York, USA Showtime. It's going to put this one on New York Showbox, I guess, Friday night fights. We've got Frank Galarza versus Sheldon Moore is the big fight on this card. Galarza is 16-0-2 with 10 knockouts. Frank Moore is 13-2-1, 9 knockouts. We got Sergey Derevyanchenko, who's 4-0. Alan Campo, 13-1. A couple other sort of decent fights. Nothing crazy. There's one in Massachusetts at Memorial Hall where I used to go to the fight on Friday. Danny O'Connor is in action. 24-2 with 8 knockouts, fighting Michael Clark, who's 44-12. One draw, 18 knockouts. That's the big fight on the card. That's the most rounds, 10-round welterweights. They also have a 6-round lightweight fight between Logan McGuinness, 21-0-1 with 9 knockouts, and Carlos Fulgencio, who's 19-15, 1 draw and 12 knockouts. Knockout moves. And if you're in Australia, you can find a pretty big fight going on this weekend. On Saturday, Chad Bennett, 35-4-3 with 26 knockouts at lightweight, fighting a 12-round fight with Pablo Martin Barboza. 23-4 with 9 knockouts. That's for the vacant International Boxing Organization World Lightweight title. And the Super Featherweight fight, 12-rounder, also a title on the line. Kai McKenzie, 14-0 with 12 knockouts, fighting Jack As Is. Or I guess there's not another S in his name, or he have a other bad name. Jack As Is, A-S-I-S. Yeah. 32-18-5 with 17 knockouts. This is for the vacant IBO World Super Featherweight title. And, yeah. The guy who's 19-51. No, 14-51 with 4 draws also on this card. Fighting the guy who's 1-0, the first fight of the night. Here we go. What else we got? That's just page one, folks. Oh, I think this is a mismatch of the week. We have a 6-round featherweight fight from the Czech Republic on Saturday. Sofiane Takuch, 29-3-1 with 13 knockouts, fighting Peter Balas. He's a Bala. He's B-A-L-A-Z. Balas. His record is 3-44. He's been knocked out 32 times. He's got 2 draws. Though. Tough guy. 3 wins. 1 by knockout. It's a tough one. I'm going to bet on the dude with the 44 losses, I think. Big. Let's just see if it's a big upset. All right, I got some stuff going on in France. Some guys really not great records. Some fights in Germany, but nothing for a title there. We go. Mexico always delivers. We got 2 big fights down there in Mexico. Pedro Guevara on Saturday. 24-1-1 is his record. He's fighting Richard Claveras, who's 12-0-2. But he's got 12 knockout wins, all wins by knockout. This is for the WBC World Light Flyweight title, 12-rounder, main event. And Jessica Chavez, I don't think she's related to Julio Cesar. Just spells it the same. She's 21-4-3. Fighting Norge Guro, who's 7-4-1 for the vacant WBC International Female Light Flyweight title. And Puerto Rico on DirecTV on Saturday, we got a big fight between Orlando Salido and Roman Martinez for the WBO Super Featherweight title. Salido's 42-12-2 with 29 knockouts. Martinez is 28-2-2 with 17 knockouts. And then we got 3 10-round fights on this card. Jose Gonzalez at lightweight fighting Sharif Boguer, who's 26-1. Gonzalez is 23-1, 18 knockouts, both of them. Flyweight's 10-rounders. McWilliams Arroyo, 15-2, fighting Ismael Garnica, who's 13-6-1. That's for the vacant WBO Latino flyweight title. And they're both Chinese now. that's about it for that one. Great stuff. Let's see. There's one in Slovenia. She just happened to be stopping by Slovenia. Not really a card associated with it, but this one fight looks pretty good. Super welterweight Dejan Zavic, 34-3 with 19 knockouts, fighting Sasha Yenjin, who's 31-1-1 with 21 knockouts. That's for the World Boxing Federation World Super Welterweight title. Let's see. Vacant WBC International Featherweight title. A lot of featherweights going on. Also on the line Saturday in the United Kingdom, Josh Warrington. He's got 20 wins, no losses, 4 knockouts, fighting Dennis Tuburon, who's 19-3-2 with 8 knockout wins. And we got Martin Joseph Ward, 10-0-2 with 5 knockouts, fighting Max Hughes, 13-1-2 with 2 knockouts. That one's for the vacant WBC International Super Featherweight title. Lots of light guys fighting this weekend. What else we got? As I mentioned, we got Garcia versus Peterson. That's the main event in Brooklyn from the Barclays Center on the Premier Championship Boxing on NBC. Of course, the main event there, the co-main event is Andy Lee versus Peter Quillen. Andy Lee has 2 knockout losses and 34 wins, with 24 of those by way of KO. Peter Quillen, a little slightly lesser percentage there. I think he's got 31 wins, 22 KO. But that's for the WBO World Middleweight title. And then I don't know if he's going to go postal, but his name is Victor Postal. Mm-hmm. 26-0 with 11 knockouts at super lightweight. He's fighting Jake Guerrieco, 17-2-1. And another big fight on this card is Gabriel Bracero, 23-1 with 4 knockouts, fighting Felix Diaz, who's undefeated at 16-0 with 8 knockouts. And if that's not enough, we got Errol Spence Jr., 10-rounder, at welterweight. He's 15-0 with 12 knockouts, fighting Samuel Vargas, who's 21-1, 20 wins, 1 loss, 1 draw, 10 knockout wins. And Luis Collazo, also in action, in a 10-round welterweight fight. 35-6 is his record, with 18 wins by knockout. He's fighting Christopher Degolato, who's 12-4 with 10 knockouts. Aaron Pryor Jr. also on the card. He's 19-7-1 with 12 knockouts, fighting Marcus Brown, who's undefeated at 13-0 with 10 knockouts. And another former guest is on this card, Heather Hardy, 12-0, 2 knockouts, fighting Renate Dumsuri, is 12-6 with 5 knockouts for Hardy's WBC International Female Super Bantamweight title. Say that 10 times fast. Okay, page 3. Heavyweights. Ray Edwards versus Travis Fulton.
Travis Fulton. Boy, there's a name from the past.
Where's Barnesville, Tony?
I've never heard of it.
It's
the town I'd go to, though.
Yeah, right? It's in Pennsylvania at the Lakeside Ballroom Saturday. It's the main event. 6-round heavyweight fight between Ray Edwards, who's 9-0, 5 knockouts, against Travis Fulton.
Did they say what the phone number of the zip code is?
I don't know. Doesn't say. Don't see the zip code there. Travis Fulton's record is 22-38 with a 1 draw and 21 knockout wins, actually, of 22 wins, 21 of them by knockout.
And his MMA record now is probably like 300-122 with 46 draws. Jeez, that's the Iron Man. I can't believe he's still fighting.
Oh, yeah. We got to get him on the show. Get some stories.
Yeah, he would be a fascinating, a fun interview. Nice guy, too. I met him at a King of the Cage in Indiana. Just a very friendly, very personal. I think he'd be a great interview. But yeah, I know he's in definitely the 200 to 300 MMA fight level. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I lied after the week. I think I lied about it. We got a better one. We got a Japan fight Sunday. 8-round main event here. Super flyweight, Hiro Kinoshita. He's got a record of 20 wins, 1 loss, 1 draw. He's fighting Nong Beer Sor Bankru. He's going to need a beer after this one because he's 0-5, 4 knockouts.
Okay.
Went to decision. And he's fighting his super flyweight 8-rounder. The guy's virtually undefeated. Good luck there, Japan. Then another Sunday fight in Japan is a guy called Go Onaga. He's 23-2-2 with 16 knockouts. He's fighting a guy who's 0-1. Yeah. Good luck there. Well, that's horrible matchmaking. All right. That's just about it till next week. Nothing else jumping out on BoxRec. We pretty much covered up
Cat. Hopefully my voice is a little bit stronger next week.
Yeah, Tony's got bronchitis, so everybody, you know, hope he gets better. Everybody keep him in your prayers.
Oh, yeah, I think I'll be right, Tom. It was actually funny. Last week, cause I was working a lot Easter weekend, and I knew I wasn't feeling well. And then Monday was the home opener for the Phillies, which they lost, which is Baltimore, so I think, nothing. I was sick, and I went into work figuring if I called out, they were going to accuse me of basically playing hooky and going to the game, which I really had no intention of doing. I was really sick. So I went into work all day Monday. Tuesday, I was in bad shape. I slept for 10 hours that night. Called out of work, and then that day we were taking my dog in. He's getting his treatments now. So instead of me being smart and staying home, I wanted to go in, you know, with the dog getting his treatment. And we were there. We were out for like 6 hours. And I was like, and then by the end of that, I was exhausted. So I'm like, okay, no, I'm macho, I'm tough. And I had a doctor's appointment Wednesday night anyway for something else. And I'm like, well, I'll just come and look at my chest. I have a history of bronchitis. And talking to my mom, she's like, so what time is your appointment? I'm like, 7:45. You just end work at like 4:30. I'm like, I know, Ma. I said, I'll go to the gym for a few hours. I'm like, are you out of your mind as soon as you are? I'll be fine. You know, and I had this thing on my mind. That was my intention. I get to work. I log in. I'm working. My boss walks by. He's like, how you doing? And I'm like, he's like, you look terrible. Why are you here? Seriously, why are you here right now? So my boss and two of my colleagues are germaphobes.
Uh-huh.
So by me being there and the whole office had been sick, they were freaking out the fact that I was there. He went to his office. Didn't even to my face. He went to his office and IM'd me. He's like, dude, you need to leave, please. He said, I don't want to be harsh, but you really need to go. And I'm like, you know what, he's right. I went home. I slept for a couple hours, and my breathing was really getting bad. So I went to the doctors. I say, first thing the doctor says was, seriously, we haven't seen you in 7 years. Seriously? And I'm like, yep, and it was for the same thing last time, too.
Yeah.
And he went there, put the thing on my chest. He's like, you have bronchitis again. I'm like, yeah, I know. And I started going over all the stuff they put me on 7 years ago. I'm not just a boxing rain man. I guess I'm an illness rain man, too. I'm like, yep, you have the antibiotic, you cough medicine, you gave me the inhaler, you put me on the antibiotics, you look at all the stuff, and he goes, well, it's just right around the wall on all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I texted my bosses today, you know. I texted him last time, I texted him today, I said, yeah, I'm feeling a lot better, I'm starting to feel stronger. I mean, I still wheeze a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, I should need to find him tomorrow. They're like, no, you're not.
So you're actually on steroids now, is that what you're saying?
What?
Are you on any steroids now?
Well, if you consider an inhaler steroid.
Like, kind of shit. Well, obviously, it's not the injections that they get for big people.
I'm like, yeah, I can come to Florida. I know you can't.
Mm-hmm. I know the Phillies take a lot of cheering for them to do good. That's probably why you got that way, but no.
Well, I can still hear you, Tony. You sound okay. I hope it doesn't get worse next week, or you'll be on the sound like you'll be on the space station. You know, the one small step for Fight News Unlimited.
I think you guys are going to like this story. Could be worse, Tony. You could have cancer, right? Well,
very true.
Billy, our former guest, Bronco Billy, he's going to try to help some people with cancer, I guess. He's doing a 500-mile trek from Las Vegas to Arizona.
Wow.
Next training camp. He's going to do a variety of stuff, I guess, run, bike. I don't know if he's going to do any swimming or paragliding, but that's going to be an adventure.
Hey, with that guy, who knows? Nothing would surprise me with that wild man.
Pretty cool stuff. It's on our blog. I put it up there last night. We're going to have a lot of posts up there today because I've been working on wood all day. I haven't got an order in a while, so I got one out of the blue today. Been working on that instead of the site. But we will have a guest next week. I guarantee it. And if not, this is free. Oh, it did.
Yeah. I was doing with Neil Tom. The first year that I was doing the show with Rich was 2008, which was the last time I had bronchitis. And I had been doing the show a couple months, and then I came down with it, and I had it a lot worse last time. I mean, a lot worse. To the point when, I was really, really struggling. It got a lot worse last time, and then thankfully, this time we caught it somewhat early. But that night when I had the last time, and I remember it's like I was sitting down downstairs, and I had my phone, and this is at the time I used to dial into the show. And I'm sitting there at the table, and it was like 7:15, and I'm like, I should probably go upstairs pretty soon, and you know, go unbox it or do whatever. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I can't move. I'm sitting here, I'm like, I can't move. And then I was like, okay, 5 more minutes. And I said, no, it was like 7:20. I'm like, 5 more minutes. 7:25. 5 more minutes. And then finally, 7:55, and I'm like, all right, I have no other choice. I have to go upstairs right now and dial into the show. And that's what I did. And I remember I got on the air, and even Rich was like, oh, my God. And at the time, it was just he and I. And I don't remember if we had a guest that night, but I remember I'm like, bro, you're going to have to carry me tonight. Because I'm like, I was like, okay, and I got this, and I finally had emphysema. But the funniest one ever, this is about the third time I've had bronchitis. One of the first times I ever got it, I had just graduated college, and I had started my one job. I used to work there over the summers, and then I'd gone back kind of as a temporary position, temporary meaning I didn't leave until 10 years later. And at the time, you know, I was just working in the call center there, you know, just trying to, you know, establish myself again. And I had become one of our top agents, and I wasn't even managing yet. I was working on our inbound team, working with a lot of our pharmaceutical reps and working with a lot of our higher-end doctors. At the time, we were working on two programs for competitors. So the one program, we would use our actual company. CVG. We'd call up, say, hey, this is Tony from CVG, or we'd answer the phone, hey, this is CVG, you're talking to Tony, how can I help you? The other program was a competitor, so what we were doing to kind of cover ourselves, we were saying calling on behalf of the pharmaceutical company, which I believe was Alza. So I'd been calling on behalf of Alza, or this is the program line for Alza. And the Alpha line, we have these certain, actually it's called bat phones, they were a separate phone. So I'm coughing, I'm wheezing, I feel like shit. My regular phone rings, I answer it, DBG, this is Tony, and I'm coughing. And the doctor on the other phone, he dealt with all physicians, he's like, John, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I've had a real day call because they said, you need to go home. And I'm like, well, doctor, I really can't. I said, I'm not a full-time employee. I won't get paid. He goes, well, you sound like you have this. He goes, diagnosing me over the phone. And he goes, you really need to make a doctor's appointment. And I'm like, yes, I will. He goes, you really should take some time off. And I'm like, he goes, but I understand. But you really need to see a doctor and, you know, get on some medication. So I hang up that line with him. Now my back phone rings, my Alza line. I pick it up. Program, Alza program support. This is Tony. The guy goes, Tony, didn't I just talk to you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, huh? He goes, do you work for both companies? And I'm like, oh, shit, because they told us if we revealed who we were working for, we could get fired.
Oh.
I'm like, I'm going to lose my fucking job because I got bronchitis. Because like, and this doctor gets my line, he times it up. He's like, can't you, don't worry, I'm going to tell nobody.
Because
he knew he was dealing with through two competitor products, and he's talking to me for both of them. So how crazy that was. So at least I haven't run into anything like that yet.
Wow. Good stuff. Not good stuff for you, but
good for that.
I found something while you were relaying that story. Jerry Cooney's coming back. He's going to fight again. Oh.
What?
No, he's going to call some boxing on one of the premier boxing champions cards.
Okay, I can live with that. Don't scare me like that, bro.
Right. He's going to be out of town on May 2nd in Vegas, actually. He's not going to be there for that. He's actually got something going on in Hoboken, New Jersey, as a fundraiser. But I suppose he's going to call some other shows. Gentleman Jerry. He's only 58 years old. Believe that?
Wow, does time fly? Wow. I remember him when he was.
When he fought Foreman back in 1990, that fight was basically billed as funny as this is now. The geezers and skeezers. And you figure Foreman was really 40, and Cooney was what, 33? They're calling him the geezers and skeezers.
Yeah, I guess he's going to call the bouts on radio, so I guess it's not part of his official team. He's working with Randy Gordon, fellow Long Islander and boxing journalist. They have a twice-weekly show called At the Fight on SiriusXM. So there's a new station for you to listen to, Tony. I want to get your Jared Cooney pick.
Yeah.
All right, I guess that's it. We're all out of content, and just tonight, so.
All right, guys. We'll do it next week. In the meantime, let's enjoy the fights we got this weekend.
Yep. Don't forget to watch the Danny Garcia fight. You know, hell of a nice guy. And, you know, my voice will be a little bit stronger. I'm going to go take my inhaler and my nighttime meds now.
All righty.
All right. See you guys later.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Thanks, everybody, for stopping by. Until next week. Adios. Hasta la vista, all that good shit. We're done.